Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast Week 13 edition. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of FootballGarbageTime.com. And with me today is senior writer Ryan Woodfield, a writer to the site, and also a diehard Pats fan, so I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about coming up shortly, seeing as how the Pats didn't manage to get away from the bottom-dwelling Eagles. But before we get started, wanted to give a shout-out to Wally and Roy at Urban Sports Scene out of the DMV. That's D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. You check out their podcast, which has awesome fresh insight into all sports. They're actually having their 235th episode this week, and they're terrific. So check them out at walio.podbean.com. That's W-A-L-E-O at .podbean.com. Now, I don't know if you've been following this on Twitter, Ryan, but we've been going head-to-head with Wally and Roy for NFL picks each week. They are terrific competition, but right now we are 2-0 and looking forward to continuing the streak into next week. So on the show for today, we have some discussion about the Carolina Panthers and their so far undefeated season. We're going to talk about the New England Patriots and the fallout from the last most recent loss. And we'll talk about Brock Osweiler of the Denver Broncos and whether he'll be the leader of the Broncos going forward. And then we'll talk about the abysmal NFC East and that travesty of a game yesterday and whether any of these guys will have any be competitive at the end of the season and who's actually going to survive out of that terrible division. So first topic of the day will be the Carolina Panthers. And here we're going to talk about the fact that they are so far undefeated, the only undefeated team in the NFL, 12-0, and whether they're going to continue to be undefeated or not. So I'm going to take this one first and just kind of quickly run through a little bit of background here. Now, honestly, the Carolina Panthers have been one of the hottest teams in the NFL by far. And I don't mean that just because of their win-loss record. If you look at what they've been able to do, they've been able to win games without having essentially any type of passing attack. They are 27th in the NFL on average passing yards per game, 219.2, yet still have won 12 games in the NFL. And they are tied for second for points for against opponents at 31.1 average points per game. So they're doing it all without any type of passing attack, and that's because their rushing attack has been so effective, 141.9 yards per game, which is good for third in the NFL, kind of split between Jonathan Stewart and Cam Newton, who's running a lot more this year than he's had in the past, and have been able to dominate on the other side of the ball as far as the defense is concerned. We see what their defense is doing. You see that there are standouts like Luke Kuechly and Josh Norman out there who are really containing opposing offenses in significant ways. If you look at their plus-minus ratio, you'll see that they're +9 on interceptions. They're +5 on fumble recoveries. That's +14 plus-minus on the season. That is a significant stat for a team that is not a real high-powered offense. And Cam Newton is doing this without really any receiving options. In fact, the only receiving option that's on pace to break 1,000 yards this year is Greg Olsen. So not a single wide receiver is on pace to break 1,000 yards receiving. It's really just their tight end, Greg Olsen. So that's pretty significant, I'd say. And it looks like with their upcoming schedule, they may have a chance to run the rest of the schedule and be undefeated, perfect for the regular season. So, Ryan, any thoughts on that? What about the Carolina Panthers? Are they going to remain undefeated for the rest of the season?
You know, I would say, I mean, touching on the schedule like you did, you know, the only real competition they have down the stretch is the two games against the Falcons. And, you know, they're obviously in a huge decline. And, you know, I would say that the Giants can prevent or pose a problem given the history of the Giants and their late season success. But with all that said, you know, I think that the most impressive point is the points for this year. You know, they're not really doing it with a straight passing attack. They're passing when they need to, and they're playing. They have a great run game between Stewart and Cam, and the defense is putting up points, and they're, you know, they're playing good special teams. So I think from an analyst standpoint, you would have to say they have a pretty good shot. You know, two games against the Falcons, they're at home against the Buccaneers, and they are on the road against the Giants. So I think they can do it, but the phenomenon that happens at this time of year, especially when you play teams like the Buccaneers, is, and I saw in 07 that, the, you know, people remember how electrifying that Pats team was in 07. But down the stretch, you're going to get every team's best shot. Case in point, last week against New Orleans, you know, that game was a barn burner, and that's because you're going to have teams that are going to say, we're going to put it all on the line, because people, you know, players pretend that they're robots and that they don't pay attention to stuff, but they do. They all have it marked on their schedules that, you know, they have a chance to knock off an undefeated team. And in the unique case of the Falcons, they have two shots to do it. So I would say, given history, I think that they should go undefeated. I think they should run the table. But history says that they're going to have a hiccup, because these teams are going to come in looking with a little extra added motivation, which does mean a lot in the NFL.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think they're gonna get everyone's best shot for sure. I really do. I think the Falcons have really kind of fallen off a ledge a little bit here. Matt Ryan has been absolutely just brutally terrible, and quite frankly, Devonta Freeman didn't really get back on track that much in the last game as well. So I'm not sure what's going to happen to the Falcons. I do believe the Giants do kind of step up at the end of the season, and it's going to be at Giants, so that's going to be a tough game for them. Buccaneers actually have been looking really good. Jameis Winston has been really solid. I mean, he's actually had a nice string of games where he had multi-touchdowns, either ground and or through the air, and he's been managing the ball pretty well. He hasn't been throwing a lot of interceptions. Doug Martin has kind of started to come up. Charles Sims looks good. Quite frankly, they're getting Austin Seferian Jenkins back. I think that might be a tough one. It'll be the end of the season. If they're undefeated at that point, they'll be playing at home, but the Buccaneers can potentially upset them in the very last game of the season. But it'll be tough, but at the end of the day, I don't think it matters. You know, being undefeated is a little bit overrated as far as how it impacts your season. And ultimately, you know, and as a Pats fan, I know you know that's true. Ultimately, they're better off just playing good conservative football into the playoffs and seeing how that rolls going forward. So let's turn to a topic that I know you probably have a lot to talk about, and that's the New England Patriots. They're seemingly not the Patriots of old, going against the Philadelphia Eagles, who were just completely devastated by the Detroit Lions over Thanksgiving, managed to go up big on the Patriots. Now, the Patriots did have a chance to come back at the end. It ultimately was a close game, but they were down by 3 scores at one point, and it looked like the Eagles, now, aside from giving them their best shot, that Brady really wasn't finding a lot of weapons out there in the passing game. And I mean, maybe the injuries are catching up with New England, and maybe their season is a little bit in jeopardy now. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I'm going to – you're right. I got a lot to say. I'll start with that. The big story for everyone with the Patriots has been the obvious story. They're injured. You lose Dion Lewis, and we said in New England, they can survive it. It stinks, and I even said, you know, on our podcast that I love the story of Dion Lewis, not a make-or-break injury. You lose Julian Edelman, and, you know, that's tough. Julian he's the heart and soul of that offense. I think that Gronk's a little bit more valuable, obviously, from a performance and physical standpoint, despite the fact that Edelman was on pace for another 100 reception season. But if you watch some of the behind-the-scenes stuff in the Super Bowl, you know, it's Jules in the huddle saying, you know, going up to Gronk, headbutt, saying, I love you. Turn around, saying, hey, let's go, boys. I love you. Let's do this. And he's a tone setter with his physicality. The way he plays, his blue-collar, bring his lunch pail to work attitude. So you have all that, but you lose him and you say you can survive because you've got Amendola, who's a faction of what he is. And then I've coined the phrase this year on here that if it's not Gronk, Belichick, or Brady, it doesn't matter. And you lose Gronk. But at the end of the day, past the injuries, there's a much bigger issue going on in New England the last 2 weeks, and it's coaching. I think overlooked in both of these games so far is that the Patriots in both games, and in the Denver game twice, blew a 14-point lead. And they blew a 14-point lead last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. And everyone wants to point to the drop kick, which was unbelievably stupid. And you won't find a bigger blowhard Patriot fan than me But that was nothing more than Bill Belichick flexing his football IQ and wanting to do something that no one had ever done and just wants all the accolades. The big issue here is that they did have 14-point leads, which shows that they can still beat teams. They still have a good defense, a good to great defense. I wouldn't say great, but, you know, they're in that middle ground between the two. And their offense has moved the ball fine, and they've put up points. The issue was, in both games, they got a lead, and they stopped trusting their team, and they started running trick plays, the pooch kick. They started at the end of the Broncos game, end of the half, instead of going for it, they started trying to leave the clock out for the next 20 minutes of game time in that game. One of the bigger, and I know it's worked in the past, but I absolutely hate the gimmick speed rush where they run up to the line and try to snap it quick. And they did it last week, and James White gets a 4-yard loss. So now they pass it twice in a row, and on the second pass, it's a 100-yard pick going the other way. And they try to outsmart themselves, and they're trying to get too cute. And I think the biggest evaluation going into this week is that they need to sit back and realize that they can still beat these teams because they're still better. Regardless if they have all these injuries or not, if they go out there and they just play a normal game and don't try to get cute, that they should win, that they should run the table here. And at the end of the day, Gronkowski, for me, doesn't need to step on the field until January. And same with Edelman. I don't care if they lose the next four. They're going to win the division. They just need to be healthy for January, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I have a tendency to agree with you. I'm not paying this lip service here, but quite frankly, the Patriots can lose the rest of the regular season games as long as they actually get ready for they'll likely be in a position, I think, even at the end of the season to actually have that first bye week. I don't think they're going to end up in the wild card, and I think they'll get healthy for the playoffs, and that's really when it really matters. I don't have any doubt there. I do think there are some issues there. One of the issues I want to point out is that I don't think there's much more depth after Amendola. He's fine. He's a fraction of what Julian Edelman is. I think Edelman's a better player. He is a fine substitute. Scott Chandler is a fraction of what Gronkowski is, and Brandon LaFell has just not been good. He had some brutal drops along the way, and I really do think that they need to work on that. But ultimately, I do think the Patriots are going to be okay, and this is not a real issue at the end of the day. So let's move on to our next topic, which is the Denver Broncos and QB Brock Osweiler. So it turns out that according to current reports that Peyton Manning is starting to throw the ball a little bit now. He's probably not ready to play anytime soon. But the real question is, well, do we even want Peyton Manning back there if I was a Denver Broncos fan? Brock Osweiler has been reasonable, and he's had wins in all his starts so far this season. So what are your thoughts on that, Ryan? Do you think Brock Osweiler is for real? Is he for real as a Denver's quarterback?
I think he's for real for at least this season, and I think that he's good enough to lead them the rest of the way. I think that he's a better option than Peyton Manning, and, you know, I find it hard to believe anyone can really argue that at this point. Except for the ESPN Peyton Manning apologists who have been around for forever.
Sure.
But aside from them, you have to go Brock Osweiler here. Now, I think they found a little bit of fool's gold. They've been playing well. But aside from the Patriots, they really haven't, you know, they haven't had a good win yet. You got San Diego and you got the Chicago Bears, and albeit both on the road, but let's see what Brock Osweiler looks like, walking into, into Pittsburgh or into Indy or even, you know, the New England. You know, I got to see him win that big road game before I'm really sold on him for the future. And, you know, it's a nice flash in the pan, and it's what they need right now. But, again, you know, Colin Kaepernick was a lot more electric when he stepped into his role and led him to a Super Bowl. So I think the jury's still out. You got to evaluate quarterbacks on a 2-to-3-year basis. But as for right now and for this season, you have to roll Brock.
Yeah, I think, you know, Brock is – it's interesting because Osweiler was taken in the second round back in 2012. It's been a while now. Denver obviously – really thought highly of him to take him in the second round because he really wasn't a huge playmaker at Arizona State. I mean, he was a good quarterback. I mean, he had decent stats, but he didn't blow things off the page. I mean, he wasn't like, you know, a Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston or really even or anything, really. He really wasn't even a Ryan Tannehill or anything like that, or Blake Bortles. So he was just a guy who was a good game manager and a solid quarterback and had good completion percentage. But they set him behind Peyton, and they kind of wanted him to become the guy. I think that ultimately what we're seeing here is a very conservative offense drawn up around Brock. I don't think that Osweiler is asked to do much, but particularly against the Bears. He only had 27 attempts, and most of those actually were very, very short attempts. I mean, he had one long attempt, one long completion for 48 yards, but other than that, everything else was within the basically within the hash and within 10 yards. And I think he can do that. I think he's a fine game manager. If you look at his overall stats, I mean, his QBR is 58.8 from the games that he's played this year, and that's not particularly good. I mean, that's fine. You know, that's not going to kill you. It's not going to eliminate you from the competition, but it's not a really particularly good QBR. And I think that kind of reflects the fact that ultimately he's not the reason why they're winning. I mean, he had the 5 touchdowns, but he's had 3 interceptions as well, you know. And aside from the game against the Bears where he didn't throw any interceptions, which is understandable because the Bears' secondary is terrible, he's basically been 1-1 in every game he's played. You know, 1 TD, 1 INT. And he's not, you know, he's not that electric. He's not running. He doesn't run with the ball. He doesn't operate well outside the pocket. So, yeah, he's good. It depends on what you mean by for real. I think he's good enough. I think he'll be fine with the Denver Broncos defense if they keep playing it the way they do. I think that Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson will need to step up. And he just does the bare minimum to win games. So, yeah, I think he's okay, but I certainly don't think he's going to take them all the way to the Super Bowl. So that leaves us with the final topic, which is one that's near and dear to my heart coming out of New York here and knowing a lot of Giants fans. But the NFC East is a complete disaster. It is a hot mess. And just looking at Monday Night Football, it was almost an unwatchable game of football, barely identifiable as football, until the last minute and a half of the game. So tell me, what are your thoughts, Ryan, about the NFC East? Who is going to survive out of that division, and do they even have a shot when they get to the playoffs?
Oh, my God, I don't even know. You know, I think the most frustrating thing with this division is that we've seen bad divisions in the past. You know, we've talked about it all year. The Seahawks back in 2009, or that might have been 10, but regardless. And then last year with the Panthers. But what you happen to see those years that you're not seeing right now is you saw teams, or, you know, last year really two teams who emerged down the stretch, and then in the Seattle year, Seattle emerged. Mm-hmm. You just don't see anybody emerging in this division. You might as well at this point, because, you know, you just said, you know, who do we think is going to win? I don't know. Write the 4 names, put it in a hat, and pick one out and put your hat on that. I would say aside from the Redskins. I just don't believe in the Redskins. But I think any one of the Eagles, Dallas, or the Giants have enough talent, and it's really not about who's going to, you know, emerge in this division. It's who's gonna not make the last mistake, and that's really what it's going to come down to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Now, what's interesting to me, though, is that I think the Cowboys, I just don't think they can win with Matt Castle. He's just not a good quarterback. I know they got it done yesterday, but quite frankly, he's just not going to be able to bring them to a playoff game because there's just not enough offensive firepower there. I mean, Dez Bryant had to basically complain and take off his shoes and pout like a little kid until they decided, oh, yeah, in the last minute and a half, maybe we should try and get him the ball. So, you know, there's a lot of issues there. Derek McFadden was totally ineffective through the entire game until the Redskins, which I believe let him score at the end in order to get a chance to get back in the game. I mean, at that point, with a minute and a half left, the guy had, I think, less than 50 total yards and 2 fumbles. I mean, he really was not an effective running back against the Redskins' defense, which was okay, really just subpar. And I agree with you. The Redskins have, I think, 0 shot, quite frankly. I mean, Kirk Cousins looks terrible. DeSean Jackson made a lot of mental errors, although he's a dynamic player. Pierre Garçon is really nothing. I thought that would be more from Jordan Reed, but quite frankly, Kirk Cousins couldn't get him the ball in a crossing pattern, which should have been a 30-yard gainer. Instead, he threw it ahead of him where Jordan Reed couldn't even touch it. So, frankly, I really don't think there's enough talent in the Redskins or the Cowboys to get there. I do think there's enough talent in the Giants and the Eagles to get there. I think the Eagles are just are poorly coached, so that's the problem. I think the Giants have the edge just because they've been there before, and frankly, they have basically the same team plus OBJ. And I think that you throw OBJ in the mix, and anything can happen. I mean, we've seen him made amazing catch after amazing catch. He actually makes Eli Manning look like a passably good quarterback, and I think ultimately we're going to see them step up at the end, at least win against the Dolphins and the Eagles. I think 7-9 and 3-3 in the division is going to get the Giants into the playoffs. And depending on who they end up playing, they might have a shot to go one or two down the road. Who knows? I mean, they do play really good football at the end of the season. So, any last thoughts on the NFC East, or are we done putting that hot mess out of in our rearview mirror?
Oh man, you say 7-9, like that's a foregone conclusion. We could see our first double digit loss team in the playoffs this year. Anyone can win that at 6-10 over there. So Jerry Jones wasn't wrong a couple weeks ago to say that they still have a shot, because they're now one game back in the loss column. It's absolutely unreal.
It's shocking to me, absolutely shocking. I mean, if they make it in as a 6-10 team, I don't know what to say. That just to say, then I think we should do something about the divisions. We should reseed. We should do something, because that's just not fair to the other teams in the NFC. Okay, so one last question for you, and then we're going to sign off here. And just a quick one: the end of the Thursday night game was a little bit controversial. You know, I'm not a Packers fan. I think that's well known. But frankly, I'd have all the respect in the world for Aaron Rodgers. I thought he played like crap the entire game. And then he gets the Hail Mary, gets bailed out by a really good, smart play by Richard Rodgers, actually, coming in late, dragging, actually trailing the defense, and then boxing out and getting the Hail Mary. But that aside, the question I have for you is, was that last penalty of the game, was that actually a face mask? Did you think that was a face mask that was properly called?
Not a face mask at all. If they had called it a legal hand to the face or roughing, I would have given it a little more credence, because then you just say they're protecting the QB. But it's the wrong call, and it shouldn't have been a penalty at all.
Right, I totally agree. And the funny thing is that I understand that when you're playing in fast speed, real time, that it may be a little bit hard to tell. But quite frankly, when you look at it in slow-mo, it is super clear that at most he brushes the outside of his helmet, and Aaron Rodgers just kind of twitches, you know, he kind of jerks in that direction, trying to avoid the person, trying to avoid the tackler. So quite frankly, he kind of created his own penalty in a way.
I was going to follow up. I mean, even the jerk was minimal, and you didn't see what you normally get the roughing call is, where the helmet comes flying down because there's so much pressure on the face mask when you get that illegal hands to the face. I mean, nothing happened. He grazed the face mask. It's an atrocious call. It's another sign of the NFL's officiating problems.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think really the biggest thing that concerns me is not that that call was made, but it's made inconsistently. That we see calls that are similar to that are not called face masks, and that in a key situation is called a face mask. I think that's the most atrocious thing I've seen. And the officiating has been just really down this year. It's been really, really down this year. Not only in just Patriots games, but all over the NFL, I think. Okay, so that brings us to So that brings us to the end of our episode for today. We'll follow us again next week, and we will have more information this time on week 14. Ryan, go ahead and give them your Twitter address so they can follow you.
Yes, at Ryan Whitfield NE, and ignore the last 2 weeks of tweets of me quitting football.
I can guarantee that Ryan's not quitting football, and everyone tune into the site, check out all his articles. They're great articles. Everyone read them and comment on them and pass them on to your buddies, and follow us at FB Garbage Time. Check us out with all new content every day, and until next time, enjoy the rest of your NFL week.